Thank you very much, Frank.
Okay.
Nice talk.
So, as this talk was announced to be held in German language, the first question is there anybody who is relying on this information? So, this is a good point. Gibt es jemanden, der sich darauf verlassen hat, dass dieser Talk auf Deutsch gehalten wird, wie angekündigt, oder können wir das jetzt auch auf Englisch? Okay, fine, perfect. I expected that. So, after this, we had many talks and I had a look into the gears and internals of Linux sound architecture. Frank and I would like to present now some applications and want to show what can be done with Linux sound applications at present. What is the situation?
Before we start, maybe a few words of warning. A lot of the software which we try to show now is in a very recent
I'm coming
stage.
To this point okay. right now. So, what is the situation? The situation is about 1 year ago, we had ISA 0.9 became usable, and there was a total change in API, and so the application programmer interface is now can be considered as stable. So now applications programmer can start. So this is approximately 1 year ago this happened. So this means that as Frank wanted to say, probably, that many of the, or most of the sound applications are in under heavy development, so the typical version number is 0.5, 0.6 or something. And so demonstrating of this kind of software is a bit risky. It seems to work quite well, but so please forgive any problem with the software.
There will be dragons beyond here.
Yeah. So what is the situation with the commercial software? We have commercial software in the video field. We have Maya, the professional rendering software, and we have the video editing software Main Actor. But in the audio field, there is no commercial software yet, at least for the desktop. We have commercial use of Linux in the embedded field, so for MP3 streaming devices and probably also for mixer devices. So the software is just either developed at universities or by free software developers. Another thing, the very important Jack audio connection toolkit has become widely accepted and usable half a year ago. So there was introduction of patch bay capabilities, so then you could have a patch bay, and this was very important to make this convenient. Convenient for users. So, things are very much in the, under development, but I have arranged something here that shows that you can already do impressive things. Some mix.
What's about mixer?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yep.
Should be okay. Ah, yeah, this is this one here.
The mystery of Alpha Mixers. Better documentation, please.
No, 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 no. This is my fault. This is the mystery of AMS.
Okay.
And this is the mystery of setting the dry and wet levels too low for the free verb effect. And yeah. So let's also record it.
Let's be millionaires.
Yeah, this is what I meant. But as you will observe later, this is only in the playback. The recorded WAF will not have any click. I hope so. So then.
So now you might have to give some explanations for the audience outside.
Later, later, later. Like. Yeah, yeah.
Just to know the programs that we are using.
Okay. you're right. Okay. What I have wired up is a chain of note editor sending MIDI events to IIW synth in jack mode, and this is. Yes, with QJack Connect you can follow the path. The internet audience cannot follow it. So, so IW synth is connected to AMS as effect processor, and AMS is then sending the process data to ALSA playback and to QA Record, which is a simple record client for Jack. That just records CD quality stereo WAFs. So, and I recorded a bit, and I'd like to verify whether this worked.
Okay.
Ah, yeah, this one.
Okay, so repeat the whole path. The first thing is note edit, having loaded a MIDI file, playing this back, playing the MIDI note data into If I Were You or IIWU, which is Peter's product. You see some up here? Yes, there he is. Okay. It has loaded some kind of a 2 or 4 megabyte general MIDI sound font. It plays back this data. IIWU sends its data out through Jack. Then this gets routed into AMS, which just takes the Jack in audio data, puts this through a small Canon delay filter IC and a small FreeVerb, and then out again. And the output of all of this goes to the QA record program, which writes this as a WAF file to disk. This is the current setup, right?
Yes.
I'm great.
Thank
wow,
you.
Wow, I understand it. Should be a teacher.
Okay. So then this was just as to provide an overview and to show that something works. And I took the break to wire up everything. And so now I'd like to go into more detail. And let's close this. So first I'd like to present the ALSA sequencer and I wire up another chain for that.
Kill all minus nine.
Ooh. So, no. So, the ELSA MIDI sequencer provides has clients and ports, and there are readable clients and readable ports. And without a patch bay, it's difficult to see what is going on in the system. But with the KA Connect patch bay, you can see you have a readable port from the this is the external MIDI port from the Sound Blaster Live here. This is the client number, and this zero is the port ID. Then I have another readable device. This is the virtual keyboard, client ID 131. And so on the other side, in the other list, I have writable clients and ports. I have the external MIDI port, and I have four ports of the EMU 10KA1 sound font synthesizer, hardware sound font synthesizer of the Sound Blaster Live. And then I have started Timidity. It is still running. I forgot to kill it, so but it's fine. And this is a software synthesizer, wavetable synthesizer for Gravis patches. And fortunately, there is a very good patch set, the EAW patch set available. And yeah, I'll just show this here. So, it sounds quite well, and yeah, it's. So, and the next I'd like to show is a small utility for playing multi-timbral on this keyboard here.
That's a real computer science musician playing not on a keyboard as we know it, but on a PC keyboard. Go ahead.
So this QMIDI Root is a very small application, but shows what you can do with the ELSA MIDI sequencer. You can easily write a routing application that can do all kinds of things. With the MIDI events, processing, changing of port or changing of channel. So I'm sending now from virtual keyboard to the QMIDI root, and from there to the Timidity client. So what happens? It is now configured that I have a split point at MIDI node 60, and everything below this is sent to one of the readable ports, and everything beyond that, including the 60, is sent to the other port. And we can also start as a sequencer, as a sequencer viewer, and have a look what happens. Not much happens because MIDI channel in the lower key zone is capped. I'll now switch this and set it to the drum channel. So okay, so of course this is extensible, so you can you can comedy route as command line parameters, so if you need four instruments for the blocks of your function keys here, and so you, but okay, I think you got got it and can try it next time you travel with your notebook. So this is ALSA MIDI routing. You can really do a lot of things. This was just an example. You can write small applications that do everything with these MIDI events. And I can, yeah. For instance, I could easily have different instruments played for different velocities, so I could this is also a feature found in some master keyboards, so I could just sort for velocity and also for channel. So then let's go from MIDI to jack and audio data. I'm now starting ALSA Player in jack mode. And hope that there is a. Yes, this was the kill all. Thank you. Do you see this? So then, and I would like also a Qjack Connect. So let's see what is going on. ALSA Player is connected to ALSA PCM. Hope there's some CD in.
Just a small technical break.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Linux can do silence with zero latency. Whoa.
Okay, we need not necessarily have an audio CD.
You need an audio CD?
Do you have another? Perhaps this is a problem with these recordable. It used to work. It used to work here. No. Okay. Fortunately, we have still this WAF we recorded.
Not again.
We have it not in the root directory, but
got the wrong extension. It's a file that ends in .aml.
Yeah. Okay. No problem. I can rename that, but let's just take this one. Ah, this is a MIDI file, okay. Yeah. This works. So so this is a WAF, and I'd like to add some drums to it. And yeah. Probably Jack 0.7 will be much better and provide a fix for it. Yeah. Ah, yeah. I'm guilty. You should never start IIW synth in the background. This doesn't work.
Peter, you heard that? Go fix it.
So. Probably this is the only thing I can do. Yeah, and there's a problem with the temp.
Okay, for you folks out there, the audience is slightly amused by this. In fact, both Matthias and I took very little time in preparing this. Maybe too little. But as we said, this is the first time ever we do this, so bear with us.
So, this is just to demonstrate why we need session management. So, then. Please stop me when I write an ampersand there. That's it. So now I connect the virtual keyboard to IIW Synth. I go to the drum channel in the virtual keyboard and connect is there. Ah, yeah, this was the wrong, maybe. Why? But the newer one should be. Okay, this is still left over for some reason. But there is still no output. Yeah, you have seen in the beginning that it used to work. IIW Synth. I don't know why. What is the reason? No. This is why I set up this in the beginning. Yeah, and this might be the problem. Oh, yeah. And maybe there's still, again, there is something in the temp, no? Okay. Okay. Then yeah, thank you, thank you. So is there still time left to have a crossfader with AMS? Okay, then with other modular synth you can now have an effect insert. You have jack in modules, jack out modules, and then they can be wired into the jack graph. So I can visualize the signal, and I can have a spectrum view of that. And I can add a LUTZPA effect.
Yes, maybe the folks out there would like to know what you're doing here.
Yeah, I'm very busy. You will see that. You are.
What about my part of the talk?
Yeah, maybe you can. I will try this for your talk.
Yeah, you're not doing multitasking?
Just, well, some time ago. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, they were football reporters. They that you listen to football through the radio. So maybe you can just do something like
to.
That.
I can try to. So what we hear all the time now is still the MIDI file, the WAV file being played, routed through jack into AMS, into the other modular synth. We're here right now wiring up some plugins, a frequency shifter, I think, which you're very fond of. And we also see two extra plugins, one of them displaying an oscilloscope view of the waveform that is currently like being routed through AMS. We see a second window which gives a spectrum, signal spectrum.
And so now
yeah?
Yeah, I have connected, I have disconnected the ALSA player to ALSA PCM connection, and now the ALSA player is playing through AMS, ALSA modular synth, and now I have Bode frequency shifter as a noticeable effect.
The idea of the Bode frequency shifter being that you're not scaling all frequencies of a signal by by say if you double a frequency, its first harmonic would not be also doubled, but they would all be shifted by the same amount in hertz. So this you get inharmonic super frequencies, which gives a very strange sound. Maybe good.
Yeah, for maybe we can just have a look at it with the frequency spectrum viewer. So if I find the alpha player again, I will be.
I'll give you 2 more minutes, and I'll kick you out.
Yeah. So they are not same scale.
So now again we have 2 spectrum viewers, one of them showing the original signal, the other one showing the distorted signal.
Yeah, but the problem is that they are not the same scale.
Well, this is not too much, not too bad.
Zoom, so.
So what we can see here is that all frequency bands are shifted by the same frequency in hertz, which gives these extra harmonics.
Okay.
That's it.
So that's it. It is always risky to show something in real time.
Looks like we have some question from outside. They really
probably.
Yes, there's one more question coming in from the LED IRC channel, this time from Jeremy Hall. He wants to know, after all this graphical user interface intensive stuff, what undertakings and what efforts are there for Encurst-based stuff?
I think other people from the LED should answer that.
Jeremy, you're it.
Okay, so it looks like there is no planned text-only version of AMS, for instance, or...
This
is the question.
For AMS itself, we have discussed to have a patch format that would be human-readable and human-writable. I think this would make a lot of sense. So something where you could see what is connected to what. It's difficult for a modular synthesizer, but somehow we are discussing a redesign and we are discussing a new patch format, and it would be nice to have something which is where it is possible with a bit of practice and imagination to be able to write a patch just with the ASCII editor. So this is planned.
By the way, I just got talk back from Jeremy. He says hi to Paul Davis, and he doesn't have the faintest what you're talking about.
The other thing I was going to say about text interfaces, some of you may know that there is a text interface to Ardour that, in fact, Jeremy is really the prime programmer for these days. But I think one of the interesting experiences with that is that although we had a fair amount of success at grafting a text-based interface onto the basic recording and mixing functions in Ardour, it really does require, I think, to use Matthias's term, you know, a great leap of imagination to figure out how to do a lot of the rest of the stuff that we've gotten used to doing with graphical interfaces with text only. So much so that, in fact, in Ardour, I mean, I don't think Jeremy's had any particular breakthroughs in the last few months. I think to some extent the effort to continue at that has really stalled in Ardour. I mean, figuring out how you do, you know, region-based waveform editing when you actually can't draw it on the screen is really quite a challenge. It may not be impossible, but I think that just from the demonstration that Matthias has given us this evening, it's tricky to really see how you could map a lot of these concepts into a text-only model, although it would be a very valuable thing to be able to do. So There may be some brilliant insights still to come, but I haven't seen them yet.
Okay, more questions from the net?
There's just one last offer from Emmett. He's the guy from civ.org, the folks who do the Icecast streaming server and stuff, and he says he's got loads of bandwidth and disk to burn, so he's offering support for Jack if you need hosting or mirrors or anything. I'm just passing this on. And he's also, we have been talking about, he's going to provide bandwidth for us for further streaming undertakings. And right now we've started to talk about live broadcasting of LinuxTag this year, and this will probably be hosted by the civ.org guys.
Very generous offer. Thank you to all these guys. Okay, so then I'll try to do my part. Just like Matthias, I'm very well prepared. I'll just show you the very few applications that I
and
like.
And your applications are rock solid, aren't they?
Yes, we saw that, we heard that. And they have 96 kilohertz, 128 bits quality, so okay. No more joking. The tools that I'm using most of the time, there are about, I think, three or four of them. The first one is about sample editing. This is Sweep, what I use most. So Conrad Parker, if you're somewhere out there, thank you for this tool, I love it. Typical task for working with Sweep. Let's say I want to create a loop. I got some kind of music piece, maybe ripped from the CD, and I want to find a loop in this one. I have a song here, which is from Jean-Michel Jarre, quite an old one, but still interesting. This is one of his older CDs. Oops. Okay, so this is a very repeating pattern at exactly 120 beats per minute. And now I just want to have a small piece of this to loop this. So what I do is I have this waveform in front of me. Again, sorry for the audience outside, nothing for you, but I'll try to explain what I do. I mark a short region, I just play it, and I select a loop button to see what comes out. Sorry. Okay, this is not looped right now. And now we just start moving around the borders. Almost, we're close. Not quite yet, a bit closer.
Up. Is it possible to zoom that?
Yeah, I can zoom it. Okay, not quite correct. Let's try like this. Ah, not quite. Okay, I just zoom in a bit to make this. Oh, this is too much. Okay, I just try to set this right to the start point here. And this one maybe a little more to the right. Yes? Sorry, okay. I love my audience. I love my audience. They help me out of this situation. Okay, much better. Okay. And if I like this now, I could go ahead, just copy this stuff and say, paste it into a new file, paste as new. And there is my new loop and a new color scheme by now. Conrad, if you hear this, I hate your way of recoloring each new view. This is terrible. The first one used to be grayish and orange, and the new one is now dark, light gray and red on it. So if that doesn't work, it should have a constant color scheme. I mailed you a bit of this before, so please fix this. Okay, so. Oh, now I forgot the loop play. Okay, now we just zoom in a bit, and at some point it starts to become really fluent. So this is a nice way to analyze the waveform. You see them at very close up, almost like an oscilloscope. Okay, this helps me in extracting loops. I already did this once for a different part of this song, and then it looks like, I think this is mostly as good looped as I could. Again, new colors, you see, always new colors. NTSC, never the same color. Okay. And now if I wanted to, I could just use this to play along with my keyboard, because I know the chords, and then this would... Sorry, go away. So about like this, this is about the idea I can just accompany myself in trying to learn a song. This is one of the applications which I use Sweep for. Another one that I like is to extract samples. For instance, you got sampling CDs, be they audio tracks or other formats. I use this on audio tracks. I just rip them with CD Paranoia. And then I got a, let's say, a 2-minute wave file. I need to extract single beats out of it. I have another example how I did this with different kind of songs. Let me just locate a file. Where was this? Okay, that's on Mount Drips Yamaha. In a local music store, I found a very old Yamaha Electone organ. I used to play on one of these around the 1980s, Electone B75, and I loved this one, this old organ so much that I had to record the samples of it. So I went there with a small portable DAT recorder and just went into the shop and, well, let's just pick the Bossa Nova. This is the Bossa Nova, what it sounded like about 20 years ago. This is very old technique. It's, of course, horrible by nowadays standards, but it's got its own flair, and I like it somehow. Okay, so I just wanted to extract some kind of sample, like I look into this part. This is, I think, only the hi-hats. Okay. So once again, I zoom in a bit, and almost like I did before, I go ahead, mark a region, and try to see if it's okay. Okay. But maybe at the beginning there's too much space left, so it doesn't start at the right moment. So I zoom in a bit more, but I can't see exactly where the sample starts. What is very nice about Sweep now is that I can scale the waveform in the vertical direction. So I use Shift cursor up to zoom it up. And now I see very well where it starts, and I can locate my start position of the wave file exactly at this point. And maybe at the end, yeah, okay, I could try to look up a zero crossing and mark that one as the end of the file. Let's just put it somewhere here. And this is already a quite good representation of the file, which I could again save to a new file and use, for instance, for a sound font. Sound font. So at this point, we leave Sweep and go to another tool, which is called Swami. Josh, if you're out there in California, this is your program. Swami is just a tool to create sound fonts. Sound fonts are collections of samples, including their key groups, so assignments of samples to keys. And this program used to be called, what's the old name? Smurf, thank you very much, audience. Smurf, nowadays it's called Swami, and it's a cooperation between Peter Anape and Josh and maybe some other guys. The old version, Smurf, used to work only on sound cards that can do sound fonts in hardware, so the so-called wavetable synthesis. This new version is now using the software wavetable synthesizer, IIWU, if I were you, as I learned, is the abbreviation. I just pick some sound font. This one, I did not create this one myself, I found it on the internet, but there are others on the internet as well. Let's just see what the archive is. One that I love is the Roland CR78, one of the very old drum machines. So you got here a graphical view of the keyboard with a couple of samples spread over it. We have a bass drum somewhere here, the old snare, toms, click, and a crash cymbal and hi-hats also somewhere in there, I think. This is a very nice one. Okay, so this is a complete sound font, and I could just play this on the keyboard again if I wanted to, but I don't want this. I would once again like to play this through the other sequencer. So I take a look again into what we've seen already, KA Connect. Here are my MIDI ports. One of them is the IIWU synth. Another one is my external keyboard up here, a good old trusty Roland D50. I connect these two. I remove another connection with it, which I don't need right now. And if everything works well, I should be able to play the... Oh, just a second, Tux. should be able to play the same sound font from the keyboard of my synth, which is of course much better playable than on the computer keyboard. And so on. So this is how you can just import wave sound fonts into your work. Apart from that, creating sound fonts in in Swami is a bit of work, and I won't go into this right now, but it's basically what you've done before. Collect your sample collections, maybe from the internet, maybe from some sampling CDs, maybe took it out of some music, and then import all of these wave files into Swami, define on which keys you want which samples to sound, and then save all of this as a something.sf2 file, sound font file, and off you go. At this point, I leave Swami already and go to the next tool, which is Muse. Muse, there are two different Muses in the world for Linux. One is written with a capital M, a small U, small S, and a capital E. This is the one I want to show. And the other one is with a capital S and E. This is some media streaming framework, which I don't know myself. I just read about this. And we have this ugly name clash. I tried to ask the authors of the both tools to find different names, but so far they didn't, so okay, we leave it like this. Okay, I start up Muse with some switches to help me in debugging. Yeah, okay, so I'll be loading a sound font. Some windows open immediately, but I don't want them right now. Okay, so what I see on this screen is a couple of tracks. This looks almost a bit similar maybe to some kind of Cubase. So we have a couple of tracks up here. For each of these tracks, I've given them names connected to the MIDI devices they are connected to. Okay, so also for the audience outside, I have on my desk a Yamaha UX256 USB MIDI interface with six channels, six MIDI in, or ports, six MIDI in, six MIDI out. And I've connected to these my current MIDI gear, which is a Roland D50, an Ovation Supernova 2, an Akai sampler, a Korg M3R expander, and an old Yamaha DX802 expander. All of these are linked onto this Yamaha USB MIDI MIDI box. And on my screen, I have all of these instruments assigned to a track. The port name is visible in this column. And right now, the recording flag is on the first track. So if I start just playing something, let me see if any more ports are connected. I think I just maybe kill out one. No, this looks good. Okay, I think we can leave it like this. So right now, if I play anything on this keyboard, this is the Roland D50. This is the keyboard I'm playing. It's also the sound I'm hearing because it's connected to itself. This means the MIDI signal goes out from the D50 into the MIDI box, into the PC, through the Muse, through its internal sequencer, which is also using ALSA, of course. Muse is echoing back the signal and putting it out to the same port where it came from. So this is a simple loop I created. But I can just as well deactivate this recording flag and set it on the next... this one is disconnected to this one, to the Yamaha, which is this small black box up here. And now... So this is a very old and simple Yamaha DX7 Hilda-like. Can do the same, for instance, for an Akai S2000 sampler below it, which should have loaded some kind of strings, I think. And so another machine down here is my Novation, which is also playable directly if I wanted to. Whatever sound. I never heard this sound before. This is a new machine for me. I just have it for 3 months now, and I don't know how to handle it yet. Okay, but the idea is there. I have a couple of ports. These are all external MIDI ports. And at the end, I have one which is also an IIWU synthesizer, but this one's built into Muse. There is also the ability to run one externally. This one has been adopted or has been modified by the author of Muse, by Werner Schwer, to run right inside Muse, which gives some advantage because this one is routed through the internal mixer of Muse. On this one right now, no sound font is loaded. I can just load up some of these cheesy 2 megabyte sound font files, which I hate, but they are okay for demoing. So we just take this 2 megabyte thingy, load it, and if this is okay, okay, this is a very ugly and clicking key piano. Okay, but it works. I have a very short track in here, and what you didn't see yet is that the audio mixer, oh sorry, it's already open, this window has a couple of tracks. These are still empty groups up here. I have one for the MU10K1, this is the wavetable synthesis, and up here, this is hard to read, this is Synthy, this is the IIWU synth, currently having loaded a FreeVerb LabSpar plugin. I'll show the GUI, but I'll also bypass it for now. So this is the dry piano. Well, this is not loud enough, maybe. Very simple. Now I want to hear it again, so I turn it on, and there's a bit of an echo. Let's just exaggerate it, make the room size very large, and maybe have some more wet signal inside, then it's like this. So what you can do here is really insert your own effects in this rack, and all of these effects that can be inserted here are these LabSpar effects that we've heard of before. Some of these have been written by Steve, of course. Others have been written by the designer of LabSpar, by Richard Furst is his name, I think. And okay, this is just one that I've loaded. There are, I think, by now about how many? 50, 60, 70 plugins. So some of them are really great. Most of them, obviously, by Steve Harris, you see. So this list is quite obvious. Steve. yes, and of these, well, what are good to show? Maybe I'll do something like, say, different. Sorry? Yeah, okay. What I'd like to do now is just restart Muse and load it freshly with a, oops, with a fresh setup without any files being loaded. And I will once again take this Jean-Michel Jarre sound that you heard before and import it into a track. So this is about not MIDI, but audio. The audio support in Muse is still early stages and weak, so there's a high chance it will crash now. Still, let's just try it. Maybe it works. It used to work at home 2 days ago, but that was two ALSA versions ago, so I don't know if it still works today. okay, so we've got it. Let's just see. Sorry for this. So, there's a simple WAV file being played now. And the good thing is that this WAV file is also routed through the audio mixer. And now this is a wonderful playground to start inserting your plugins. I'll remove this one here. And one I like very much. This was written by you, Steve, for this guy, for Patrick Shirky. He asked for DJ Flanger. So the DJ Flanger is a wonderful tool. I really love it. Up here. You already hear it running, but not too good yet. It's a flanger with very long times if you want to. So, bypassing normal signal. The flanger. And it's impressive because it's up to 30 seconds of one period run, so it's really good for very long-term flanges, something that I think the old flanging consoles could not do, that the Beatles have discovered. Okay, another plugin. Let's remove this one and try one of these which used to be very much in fashion about 1 or 2 years ago, which distort a signal by artificially making it worse, by removing signal quality, the decimator. You love this. I have to configure it before starting the playback, otherwise I would kill your ears. So we go to the full sample rate and to full bit depth. Again, the same song as before. Now we can slowly start and reduce the, for instance, the sample rate. I think the audience outside will not notice this until we go very low, down low. So this is now 14 kilohertz. This display is not quite correct, but this is 14 kilohertz. Now it's 8 kilohertz. Now we're getting nasty. So this is 3 kilohertz. And here is where it starts to get really nasty. The same can be done for the bit depth. We had 24 bits actually, but I think it's eternally a 16-bit file. This is 10-bit, still sounds very good. Now we get some noise. Much more noise. Too much noise. Okay, so another nice toy. Okay, so this is that. What other nice plugins have we got? Let's just see. Some of these are really good, but I didn't try them very often yet. Steve, anything you can recommend? Yes, the Bode frequency shifter again. Yeah, we heard this before. Maybe it makes more sense on this kind of music, on a pre-created WAV file. Let's just see. So the initial setting is, it's only one parameter here. Okay, let's see. So no frequency shift, and then you start shifting up all frequencies by a fixed amount. Okay, you get the idea. Yes? Okay, I just hear that Tyvan Rutkin from outside wants to hear the Satanic Maximizer. Okay, we can try this one. I haven't used it very often yet. What it basically does, it allows you to... Sorry, Steve? Turn the mixer down first. Yeah, would be a good idea. Let me just find it first. This is growing. You see it's not sorted yet, but here it is. Okay, first I need to see... By Steve Harris again. Yes, almost the same author. Who is this guy anyway? Anyone seen him around? Okay, so I think the knee point is currently at 0 dB. This should be neutral, I think. And if we start to increase it during playback, it should get louder and distorteder. Okay? Slowly increasing. Okay, so it does distort, it does increase the volume, but it's not like a loudness maximizer, as you might know from Steinberg software. It's mostly just for trying to raise volume a bit, but as soon as it gets to the maximum, it will clip, so then it becomes horrible. Okay, yeah, as I said, lots and lots of plugins. I only tried a few of these, but some of them are interesting. We already heard the Freeverb before, which is quite a good reverb, free implementation. And yeah, about 100 or more other plugins, just to try them out yourself. I won't go through these, but they are interesting thing to play with for a long time. Yes, so this is about that. Muse is software which is currently mostly maintained by one single guy, Werner Schwer, from somewhere in North Germany. I don't know if he's from Bielefeld or nearby. He's the only author really active on this one, and I think he could very much use more help, because this software is, I think, quite mature already. It hasn't crashed since I started, so this is not bad. I didn't do any live recording, because I know there is a bug in live recording. Some events suddenly show up with a length of about 8 bars or more. This is a bug, we're looking for it. But apart from that, this software has been in development by him for more than 3 years, and I think this really also deserves maybe a kind of applause to Werner, even if he doesn't hear us. Thank you, Werner. Okay, so yeah, at this point, I haven't any more stuff I had prepared or I could show you, but yeah, this is mostly the tools I use and also try to help somehow by stabilizing, by trying to put in small patches. Anyone is, of course, welcome to assist in these projects. Yeah, okay, so any questions? Oh, I see some hands. Let's just walk around. Okay, Julian, here's your microphone.
About Swarmy, is there any intention to build a text interface, because I'm blind and I can't use GUIs, and I'm interested in creating own sound forms, because I'm very fond of using Timidity, but sometimes those sounds, they don't do as good as I want.
Okay, I can answer this myself. I just know that Josh Green, the main author of Swarmy, has been developing it for a long time to be pretty much well designed, in the regard that you differentiate between the graphical user interface and the actual handling of sound fonts. I can't answer this, he can, but if he hears us and he heard this, then he might reconsider changing the development of this. So right now I think IIWU is text only, of course. So this is something you could use, but this is only for using pre-created sound fonts, of course, and not for building your own sound fonts. Peter? here's a comment from Peter Anderpin, the author of IWU.
Well, Josh is developing a library, lib-inst-patch, which should be like a very general library to edit instrument patches. Sound fonts are among them. I think it could be possible to have a command line interface to that. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that, well, Josh is also the only developer on SWAMI right now, and I'm sure he'd be very happy if other developers join him in the effort.
Yes, he asked for this several times. So anyone can spare some time to help in graphical user interface development and all kinds of stuff, please ask him. He's very grateful for any kind of support he gets. Johannes got some questions from the internet?
Yes, I've got one other request from Jeremy Hall. Julian's question regarding text interfaces suitable for visually impaired users. And is that Jeremy's, who's the guy who does the other text interface, is looking for people that might be interested in helping to develop new concepts in order to bring more of the advanced functionality of graphical user interface-based programs onto the command line and into the hands of those people who can't easily use graphical user interfaces. So if you want to help, get in contact with Jeremy Hall. He just posted his new email address. So if anybody wants to help, just contact him. That's jhall@maoz.com.
Okay, thanks. So, more questions? Oh, yes. This is Dave again. That means I have to run up all the stairs. Go ahead.
It's good exercise for you.
Yes, sure.
I just wanted to add a little more about the text-based interface stuff. We shouldn't forget Ekasound.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah,
Ekasound.
Definitely don't forget Ekasound.
Whose author is also in here for
right
those
here.
Outside, so Kai hasn't made the long schedule.
Which is indeed a multi-track, a multi-channel hard right. disk recorder and text-based interface.
Yes.
Also FX processor, also playback engine, and does it do the dishes or not? No, I think you're working on that. Okay, next release. Also, SOX, and actually there's a nice handful of other not NCurses based, but text-based programs, CD record and so forth. A lot of utilities, a lot of nice stuff just from the console. So there is, I think, a nice handful of things.
Absolutely right, yes. And I also know that Julian will love to spend some more time with you, Kai, to discuss some issues about Ekasound he's got. I think he'll love to have some more time with you. Okay, more questions? Okay, so if that's all, then I'd like to thank you for your patience. This ends our session for today. Tomorrow we'll start again at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. once again. And hope to see you all there again. Thanks to everyone who came here. For those participants, those who wear these nice badges, we'll be leaving in about, 15 minutes for our well-deserved dinner. So, this is again Dave asking me, one more time.
How about a big hand for Frank and Matthias?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, and then see you again tomorrow.